what people will do to, you know, challenge their bodies, challenge themselves, see, push the limit. But you have run across the story of a woman who ran an incredible amount of distance in a short hour that created a record for herself.
Yeah, Strutty, this is a story of perseverance. A lady in New York, her name's Amy Palmero Winters, set the Guinness World Record for fastest 100 miles. Now, it's on a treadmill in a specialized category because she's an amputee. That's incredible. She had to switch the leg prosthetic a bunch of times in the 21-plus hours. She actually did it in 21 hours, 43 minutes, and 29 seconds. And this is a lady that qualified for the Boston Marathon in 1994, and then a couple weeks later actually lost her leg or part of her leg in a motorcycle accident. So kind of a story of perseverance, Strutty, that one of those feel-good stories in a quiet time in the sporting world that I was like, you know what, Struts, this is cool to see what the human body can do and the human mind. Nice one to bring up. So Guinness Book of World Records for this lady in New York, Amy Palmero Winters. Just a feel-good story that I wanted to bring up.
I love hearing those. And people, what they can do to push themselves, I'm always amazed. I'm absolutely amazed. And now the pandemic, you know, we're into the fourth wave here in many different parts of the world, which is frustrating and disappointing for many different people, individually, for their businesses, sports. Everyone's getting taken on the chin. But the Japanese Grand Prix has been canceled because of the pandemic. And, you know, it's pretty amazing. That's something that big getting, pushed off.
Yeah, so it gets kiboshed. I mean, I guess it shouldn't be too big of a surprise for everyone in general, but this is coming on the heels of the Tokyo Olympics. And the Olympics, obviously, they went off for a few weeks, and the Paralympics will go same thing, no spectators. And then we knew that COVID did affect some in the Olympic Village, and I think that was somewhat expected too. But for those of us that are now huge fans of F1, like you and me, and I don't know if Connor is so much, but I know Hernan's into it, and Dusty and Rashog, you know, you lose a race on the circuit this year, which sucks. But again, it's just kind of one of those reminders that we haven't gotten over this whole COVID thing just quite yet, although we're on the right track. I apologize for the pun. But one of the casualties is the Japanese Grand Prix in F1. So kind of a bummer, but another stark reminder that, you know, we're getting there towards the finish line, but we're not quite. And it's affecting a ton of sporting events around the world right now.
Tommy Gazzola, join us for the Gazzola Chronicles. Tommy, though, the Elks and the Lions face off tomorrow. Just one win between them for four games played. But both quarterbacks can really put the yardage up. So far, not a lot of TDs to show for it. What are your expectations for this quarterback duel?
Well, obviously two vets of the league in Harris and Michael Riley, who, by the way, it was great to hear two Edmonton sporting icons like yourself and Michael Riley jawing at each other on our airwaves. Clearly no love lost there, but good old-fashioned ribbing. He's honestly one of the gems in the sporting world, especially in the CFL. Absolutely tremendous to deal with, and a great quarterback too. He had a hell of a week last week in Calgary, Strutty, and I'm sure that he's going to want to build off of what he was able to do. I know he's still questionable for tomorrow, but he is listed as QB1. And if you're the Elks and Trevor Harris, execution, and you want to get that play calling down, you want to get the good calls from the OC, you want to execute, you want to stretch the ball down the field, which it didn't seem like we were seeing a lot of, especially last weekend, because that was a rough game to watch. Offensively, you want to get into the red zone. You want to take advantage and not, unfortunately, walk away with 3 points. Thankfully, Sean White's been spot on this year. But when you get that close to pay dirt, man, you want to punch it in. And this is something that's plagued this team over the last couple of seasons, albeit they didn't play last year. But it's frustrating. And so for a guy like Harris, who's a veteran with some great offensive weapons to throw to hand off to, you just expect more offensively, and so maybe they dial it in a little bit better. But again, it feels like, you know, BC should have the edge given what we've seen last week from the Lions and what we have not seen throughout the first 2 weeks of the season from the Elks. But I still feel like we're at a point where any game could be a toss-up right now. And so I'm not getting down on the Elks and their chances tomorrow night. But it's going to be a stiff test, and they need to be much sharper, especially on the offensive side of things. Defensively, Struds, they've looked all right. They've held their own. And, you know, on special teams, that punt return for a TD really hurt them last week. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. There's still hope for them, I think, even though it's a shortened season and they're down 0-2 to start the year.
Yeah, you know, you bring that interesting thing about the inability to punch it into the end zone. And I have a hard time kind of wrapping my head around it. Like, I get everything shrinks. I get all that. The field's now, you know, not as deep and all that stuff. But, you know, you still are making plays. Like, you make plays, you know, from, I'm just generally speaking, from the 20-yard line all the way back to your own goal line. You can make plays. But now you get into that red zone. Like, you were sharp before that. You know, why is that? Did you people tighten up? As far as maybe the way they you know, either throw the ball or they catch the ball, are the reads not as tight? Are their play calling not as good? Like, I can't understand why it's that much. Like, I understand it's smaller, but you're being sharp prior to that. It's not like you couldn't move the ball to get to that point.
Exactly. I mean, maybe it's the equivalent of gripping your stick too tight once you get in a certain spot. Maybe you're not feeling it on the power play in hockey, and you're not executing the way you know you can. Maybe that's similar in football and on the offensive side of things when you're getting down in, to the 20 and closer to the goal line. I mean, it seems in theory like it should be easy, and then you toss in the fact that the end zone's 20 yards deep in the CFL, that they've designed plays for this. There's plenty of plays designed for these types of scenarios, and maybe it just gets into a quarterback's head or gets into an offense's collective head, pardon me, and the guys that you lean on to execute, you know, they falter. And maybe it becomes a momentum thing and you lose confidence. And I always wonder about that. You know, we all deal with confidence, peaks and valleys and all of that, and maybe it just gets it to your mind, like, you put that extra amount of pressure on yourself where you end up stumbling and bumbling and not getting the job done. And it just feels like it maybe has fallen into that type of rut for the Elks offense. I hope I'm wrong, but Struddy, from an outside observer, it feels like when they get down there, you're like, I don't know if they're going to convert on this, because they have a track record of faltering in this scenario, and that's been the case again this year so far.
Now, we have a big discussion going on here about promoting and getting ready for a discussion on Friday about top five songs we're going to put together for our listeners and for all the guests to vote on what should be the Oilers' goal song. And at the end of that show, we'll tweet it at the Oilers to try to get them to hear our voice, our collective voices. Rise up. We can be the tip of the spear here, Tommy Gazzola. You don't need to answer right now, but have you and are you interested in you know, throwing out an idea of a goal song for when the Oilers score?
I would like to. It's always a fun exercise, and I like this. Struds, they've got you in a prestigious alumni role that they would definitely listen to. Me, their former host of the digital side, I don't think they really care what I have to say so much anymore. Not that they really did beforehand anyway, just as long as I was towing the company line. But I do like this idea. We have a ton of Oilers fans that listen to our station, and if they can bombard the Oilers, the social media people, I feel bad for. Kate McPhail does a great job over there. Ryan Fragson, same thing. So it's not, you know, they'll pass along the message, if you will, and get it to the appropriate people in game ops and game presentation as well. But yeah, like I don't like the goal song that they have now. I think it's cheesy and a cop out, and there's a million better ones that they could have used. They had better ones before. And I do have an idea. Like, I'm willing to, like, share it right now. Although one guy texted us or tweeted us earlier that threw out Tarzan Boy by Baltimore. I actually love that song, and I feel like you would too. But yeah. I don't know if it's a great goal song. And I know it was the team's win song too for the Oilers for a few years at least.
Yeah, no, I don't mind that song at all. I think it's been used, though. That's my concern. Not that
yeah.
It has to be all brand new. Yeah, so... Yeah, I think that's Yeah, I mean, you're trying to figure it out on the fly. And I think that, you know, it's not easy. Like, I'm not criticizing anyone who's picked a goal song, because it's not easy.
No.
You can have 10 people and have 15 different opinions, right?
Yep.
So I get that. So now, you know, this is where we're at, and you're I think you're just trying to get it going. And I think I think that you just put it out there and see if you kick enough tires sooner or later, something comes around. So I'll be pretty interested to see what everyone comes up with on Friday as our final five, because I'll put it up there and you can put yours in there tomorrow and get it. We'll see if it makes the final five. So I appreciate it, big guy.
No problem. Strutty, a good goal song has to have good bass, a good rhythm, and like a chorus of voices, I find, are some of the best. I like the Rangers one. Chelsea Dagger caught on, even though at first they hated it. Obviously, with the Stanley Cup run, that helped. And then the one in Vegas is really good, too, because that place just rocks. The bass is going. I feel like those things, regardless of the lyrics or anything like that, really make up a good goal song. But it's totally subjective.
Yeah, it is. It's completely subjective. And if you get, you know, over 50% of the people liking a goal song, I consider that a massive win for any industry. So again, I'm not being critical of anything the orders are doing for goal songs. I'm just trying to think there's a higher level you can get to.
Well, the one they have is bad. I'll be honest. I'll say it. It's a bad goal song. And they had another one called Stab by The Attacks, I think it was. And it was much catchier, much more upbeat. And this last one is just like, you just roll your eyes and go, why don't you just pick a Nickelback song then? If you want to do it that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And let's be honest, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to try to pick a song because everyone's got an opinion. But Thomas, thank you very much for this. We will catch up with you tomorrow and we'll get you going with the Elks game tomorrow night versus the Lions.
Sounds good, Strutty. Talk to you tomorrow.